Jessica, that was beautiful. Thank you. Did you write that?
No.
Oh. The cool thing is I don't know. I mean, you could. So isn't that amazing? So, well, God bless you. If you have your Bible, be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as you're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to be turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and remind you of a verse that I need to be reminded of tonight. And if you have been here this week, has it been a good week? Amen, it has. I hear the weariness. Oh, yeah, it is. I'm tired. And you're like, oh, no, Brian's up now again. All right. Hey, it has been a wonderful week. I am so thankful for the Lord Jesus and all that he is doing and has done. And as you're turning to the book of 2 Timothy, I just want to share a passage. This is a life verse for me. It's not a verse that many of you have not heard. It's a verse that many of you probably already know, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writing says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And many years ago, as a matter of fact, it was just before this church was launched, and we were you, God showed me this verse for so many years. I saw that as I've been put in trust with the gospel, so also I speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth my heart. And then God, right before we launched and really got serious here in Cass County, God revisited that with me and said, "No, Brian, it doesn't say I. Read it closely. But as we were allowed, it's a privilege of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, so also we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And it's a real blessing to be entrusted with the gospel, isn't it? And it's an incredible thing because it's voluminous. It just keeps going and going, and the depth of that and the need to be good stewards of that, and that leads us, of course, to the theme of this week, Romans chapter 1, or First Romans. There is no such thing. Romans chapter 1, and the first chapter. You guys know the verse. Some of you have this tattooed on you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? The thing that we've been entrusted with. For it is, it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And then it says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And if you were here in the beginning of the year, I talked about this passage and I cross-referenced it with you, and we looked at Habakkuk and how the other mention of this that Paul is getting is from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And in that passage, it mentions the just shall live by his faith, of course, referencing prophetically the Lord Jesus Christ. And what has happened is because the Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory, now he has given that to us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? And so we understand the great commission, the great commandment, the great invitation. And that is what we are transferring, is what's been given to us. And I say us, obviously the pastoral team, but the whole church, every Christian that's a member of the body of Christ has this responsibility. And so tonight we are coming together as God is continuing to grow the kingdom. And it's an honor. It is an honor and a privilege for me tonight to deliver this charge for my dear brothers and to my dear brothers, Bob Hall and Brad McGuire. This night, it really culminates in years of God's work, years of what God's been doing. And it's been my great privilege to be a part of it. And see what God has done in the lives of these men and what it represents for the kingdom of God. The work of God and the work that God is doing in these men's lives and their ministries is proven. He has proven, and they're faithful men. They're proven men. They've proven themselves as faithful men who are able to teach others also. And so it's a great privilege for me to be able to stand here and deliver a charge to faithful men who already teach others also. It's a special occasion. As we were praying tonight, getting ready, we were all around the table in the conference room, and I think it was Jeff Trude mentioned, this is a historic moment, and it is. In our church's life, there's been many milestones. This is another one. And it's an awesome thing, right, to give back glory to God and praise Him and give Him all the honor and praise that He's due. So my task here is to deliver the charge to Bob and Brad, and I don't want to tarry too long. The word charge is an interesting word in our culture today. Of course, everyone understands the context for this occasion, right? The term means to receive the responsibility of the office of the pastor and execute the duties faithfully in the sight of God and man, in a nutshell. That's what we're doing. We're going to charge Bob and Brad to do that tonight. And in other instances, though, right, the word charge indicates the detonating power of an explosive. You put a charge in and you blow it up, right? That's an incredible thing. And in some ways, that is also what I am praying for tonight, that God blows us up. And He just explodes us with the gospel. And we carry that power, right, the power of God, forth in a way that really shakes the target cultures in which God has uniquely planted us. Because as we have been put in trust with the gospel power, right? That's what we preach. It's powerful. So power got into salvation. Oh man, it's an explosive thing. So pastors are men who are charged in many respects to deliver the gospel. I'm charging them to carry out that duty, and I pray that they do it in a manner that's charged, empowered by God Almighty. So the gospel, of course, is the power of God unto salvation. We've seen that already in Romans 1:16. And you men know, well, I hope you know. Oh, do you know I love you? I love you guys. I really do. And I love you, Bob and Carrie. And you know what? God loves you guys a whole bunch more. And our church, the Heartland loves you guys. And we love all you guys, you know. And if I've never met you tonight, I love you guys, all right? We're just full of love because that's what Jesus is all about. But it's awesome to love God and to love people. And as we stand here and we consider, you know, the heart that God has given us, it really resonates around Him. Without Him, I wouldn't know Bob or Brad. It is because of Jesus Christ that He has drawn us all together. And even tonight, for this moment, He's brought us here to kind of go, whoa, something's going on. And it's of God, by His grace. And so as we stand here this evening, my heart's filled with joy and acknowledgement of the great work that God has done. We have done a lot of reflecting the last few days. It's been pretty cool. But there's a lot of work left to do. There are people on this side of Cass County, Bob, that need Jesus, that need to be discipled. There's people in Henry County. There are ministries represented here that aren't Heartland Baptist Fellowship that will go forth and reproduce like Heartland Baptist Fellowship. Because it's not Heartland Baptist Fellowship, it's the mission of God that gets accomplished in the power of God for the glory of God. And God is going to do that work, and it's exciting to be a part of that. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, Bob, I wasn't around when you got saved. You were 10, I believe, when you accepted Christ. So it was a couple days ago. But since I have known you, really from the first days of when I got saved, you've been around my spiritual life all the way back at KCBT. And it's been awesome just to see you serve the Lord faithfully. And you too, Carrie. She's a Bible scholar, right? She's quite a student. The Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Of course, until the rapture of Christ, God is doing a work in us. And then we're going to stand accountable at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account for the things that we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Now, literally, this carcass that we're in, we're going to give account, but also the body of Christ. What are we doing in the body? This week's been a challenge, right, for all of us, faith to faith. What is the next step of faith? What are you and what am I doing in the body? Because we're going to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. So hopefully we're all doing good things. Now, in Brad, your case, literally, as you know, and Annie, I can still remember the first days until now. And I don't have amnesia there at all. That's just incredible just to see what God has done. You know, I can remember, you know, we had bets on, I don't know if I should out you, but she can play the piano. And I can break dance. So we had these bets. You play the piano, I'll break dance. All part of discipleship one, you know. And crazy, fun, adolescent type of stuff. And you know, that's just where it starts. Babes in Christ, baby church. God just growing us in his grace so we can accomplish his mission and his power for his glory. And so, Brad, I just love to see what God is doing in your life. And I still am so fond of the day you come crashing in my office, sit down and say, I need to get saved. I got to get saved. Man, that is so awesome. And you guys have served faithfully at HBF from the first day until now. And it's my great privilege to see you guys take this step of faith today. And Bob, of course, you've demonstrated your servant's heart. Even in your message, you pointed out, you know, you were up here sweeping. That's true. Bob is a servant, and he has been faithful and humble and caring, and they have just served the Lord faithfully. And Bob served here as a deacon, a Bible teacher, a ministry head, a faithful discipler, a circuit rider, as Brad as well has done all those things. These men are proven servants. They're leaders because they serve, because real leadership is being a servant. And so both of these men, in both cases, HBF has offered our best. And there's a lot of good men here at HBF and women, and these are a couple of them. And I might add, also, you folks come and have moved down to Clinton. Man, and I don't mean that begrudgingly. We're glad to give our best for the Lord. If you're going to give, give your best. Don't give the secondhand stuff. Give your best. And I just saw family. Hey, man, be proud of your kids. You got good kids. And praise the Lord. God's used you guys to bring some good kids into this world. And now they're men. And that's pretty awesome. So as you take this step, I pray God's grace and mercy so you're able to war good warfare, finish your race, you know, continue that course in God's power until it's done. Run it out as hard as you can, like Paul, so you can lay up that crown of righteousness. Now, I told you I'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You're there and I'm not. So I'm going to get there and we're going to read this text. And I'm going to get on with this because I know you guys want some cake. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm not going to get crazy tonight. I'm just going to go straight down the pipe and give what the Lord has. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, those that are alive, and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we can't take credit for anything, but we sure can give you glory. We can praise you. We can remind ourselves that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But we can also be reminded that, Lord, because of you, Lord, there is nothing that can't be done. And so, Father, we come to your throne this morning or this afternoon, this evening. And Lord, we remember all these mighty things that you have done and all the things that you're preparing these men and their wives and their families and, Lord, these congregations for in the days ahead. Lord, and we pray your best. We pray your power. Lord, we pray that this charge that was given by Paul to Timothy would be transferred to both Bob and Brad. Lord, that they would be able to take this ministry to the judgment seat of Christ, Lord, and be found faithful. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness to us and your word. We pray now as we continue this charge, that we carry forth what you began in the first century as we come to these last days before the coming of Christ, that we would be found faithful, that we'd be blameless, that we'd be harmless, that we'd be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Lord, Heavenly Father, may we be faithful to the end, Lord, to carry forth the commands of God. May there be no murmuring, may there be no division, may there be no schism. Lord, may we be of one mind, of one accord, as we go forth to accomplish your mission and your power for your glory. We just thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, number one, preach the word. You saw that coming. And so, preach the word. Now, in this text, let's notice the audience. The charge is being witnessed before holy God. So, as you know, the office of pastor is a serious trust given to us by God. And you are being trusted. Trusted with very precious things. Number one, the stewardship of God's word. And you men well know that. This is a very important charge that you hold fast to the faithful word as you have been taught, that we don't deviate to the right hand or to the left hand, that we hang and we hold on fast to the word of God, the stewardship also of God's people. As we know, it's the word of God and the souls of men that really make it happen for God. That's what he's interested in. And so make sure, gentlemen, that that is what you do, because as you preach the word, there's only one word that you need to be preaching, and that is God's word. And God allows his officers, his pastors, his deacons to steward his testimony. He puts his testimony, his word in our hands. And so he's allowing us to steward that. Paul is careful to note, as he gives his charge to his faithful son Timothy, that God is the one who will judge the quick and the dead. So Bob and Brad, you're stepping into an office that is stewarding the hope of the world, the hope of Henry County, the hope of Cass County, the hope of Jackson County, Miami County, Bates County, wherever you're coming from, Lafayette County, the world. The hope of the world is being put in our hands, right? That is what God gives us through the Word of God. And the ultimate measure of our success is found both in our impact at the judgment seat of Christ and also that other judgment, the great white throne judgment. And as we live our lives in light of those two judgment seats, of course, what we want is to see as many people as we can stand before the judgment seat of Christ so they don't have to stand before the great white throne judgment. And if I may take this charge a little further, maybe outside of my brethren that I'm charging to this whole congregation, perhaps you've slipped in here tonight and you're wondering, what's all this about? Well, we're in the business right now of charging a couple men to carry forth a very important good news message. That's what the gospel is. It's great news, man. It can deliver you from death to life. And so we really take this seriously. That's why we're suiting up, and that's why we're getting serious about this, because maybe even in the room tonight, there are people who don't know personally the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never come to that place of saving faith. Man, these two guys want you saved. I want you saved. But more importantly, Jesus wants you saved. And the Father in heaven wants you saved, because he's the one who sent his son to die on the cross for your sin. And so he wants you to come to that place of repentance so that you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. God loves you, and he died on the cross for you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you so you could be saved. Whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not in my notes, but I got to say that. Right? Because, man, that's what it's all about. Between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, we will all fall there. Some of us, I mean, how many of you in your heart right now with assurance can say, I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Amen. And that gives you a certain amount of, I got to think about that, right? Good, right? But that's a good thing. That means you're secure. You're going to heaven. Now you just got to get ready. And then the other side of that thing is, I'm not so sure where I'm going to go. You're in the great white throne judgment category, and that is a bad place to be, because the people that appear there is like going to court without a lawyer. You're not going to win that case. And all the excuses and all the things that you've ever come up with are not going to hold water, because there's only one way, there's only one truth, and there's only one life, and it is the man Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who died on the cross to prepare a way, not because he is exclusive, but because he is very simple in regard to how he addresses us. He makes it easy to find the door. There's only one. It's not like, what is that? There used to be that show, you know. What is it? The guy would have three doors, and people would dress up funny. Make a deal. It's not make a deal. Not at all. So all those who are born again will be present both at the judgment seat and the great white throne judgment. Now, those of us that are born again will be at the great white throne judgment. What will we be doing? Judging. Judging angels. We'll be observing what's going on. And I don't want to see anybody there that's in this room. For that matter, in Cass County, or Henry County, or Bates County, or the world. The heart of God. Note the authority as well. We got the audience, and these men are concerned for souls. They care about the souls. And note the authority as well. Ordination is about a transfer, ordination is about transfer, not transformation. Now, you're going to think, what? Because we're always talking about transformation, because transformation is huge. It's very important. But Brad, it is a great pleasure to witness your transformation as a newborn babe. These guys have already been born again. They've already been transformed. So what we're doing, because they've been transformed and now they have been proven, we are transferring authority. And so they have placed their faith in Christ long ago, and they've turned from the filth of the flesh to the freedom of Christ as Savior. And so you were transformed the moment you asked Christ into your heart. But I've also been able, in your case, Brad, to watch God work through you and renew your mind, mold your character, so that with a pure heart and a clean conscience, you can go forward and take this step that you're taking right now. And Bob, I mean, you've been faithful for a long time. And Carrie, and it's really good to see God work in both of your lives. So this service tonight recognizes the transformation that took place at salvation and the sanctification and the consecration that has occurred from that first day until now. And it's a great example to all of us. So now we transfer to you formally and officially the responsibility and the accountability of the office that it entails to be a pastor, a bishop, an elder in God's church. Bob, you have a much different testimony, of course, springing from a godly heritage. You've served the church how many years now? Over 25, 30 plus? A long time. And I've known you. And for you, this is another step because you've been faithful. And I just appreciate that steadfast faith in you from the first day till now. And I look forward to seeing you continue to grow. You're never too old to grow. And I tell you what, I know as you continue to lead the congregation at First Baptist of Cleveland, you're going to continue to grow. And HBF family, we need to make sure we continue to pray for both Bob and the church in Cleveland, as well as the church in Clinton. And God has blessed you in the past, so I'm sure He's going to continue to do so in the future. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And so both in the Old Testament and Leviticus 16, the priest would lay hands in the scapegoat, on the scapegoat after the sacrificial ram was offered, and place the iniquity of the people upon the goat. So both of you will be held responsible for the state of the flock as a shepherd of the flock. Here in just a little bit, we're gonna literally lay hands on you, and we're gonna send you forth. And there's also a priority. In verse 2, it says, "Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word." The sense here is not to have a nice talk, but to preach, right? To herald, to publish, to proclaim the word of God. This is to be done publicly, it's to be done fervently, it's to be done consistently, it's to be done continually. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is urgent to your call. And like the men of the American Revolution, you got to be ready to muster a message at a moment's notice. Be ready, instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. You have to be diligent. I know you men are. You've already proven that. And to fulfill your call as pastors, as preachers, it will require, obviously, to go way beyond your daily bread. Man, God's going to need you to fill up your tank. So, guys, I just encourage you, man, continue in your daily devotions. I've seen some mighty, mighty men of God fall right out of the saddle and get crushed because they didn't do the daily devotion, man. They didn't stay in the basics. Man, make sure you get to the bread, get to the well every day as best you can, because you got to have that tank filled or you're not going to be able to fill anybody else. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. As you know, this book is a sword, and if handled properly, the sword of the Spirit will bring conviction, correction, and fortunately, construction. We talked about that this week. Randy did a great job on Monday talking about that. Bob, you're like one of the faithful workers who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah. You have a sword in one hand, right, and a trowel in the other. I mean, he knows about that. He does brick work, right? And he does tile work. So, but those are, man, you're ready. Man, it's awesome. That's what you're going to be doing. And Brad, you're kind of like Joshua leading Israel into the promised land for the first time. And so both of you, you have a unique ministry that God has called you to. And I pray by God's grace, you've been equipped here to the best of our ability. And by the things in your case, Bob, before that. And that we have just done whatever God has given us to help you continue to do that. And along with this requires long suffering, right, and doctrine. At this point in Paul's ministry, he understood the need to be long suffering. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he calls for Mark. You guys know about John Mark, the problems there. Whatever problems caused him and Barnabas to part ways in Acts 15:36 through 41 was forgotten. And now Mark continued and was counted on as a faithful man that Paul needed. Pastors, we have to be patient. We have to be patient with people because God has been patient with us. And so, nonetheless, the time in ministry is short and the days are long. And I pray that God would grant you grace not to smite the rock twice. There are going to be days where you're challenged. And in this very same sense that I just mentioned with Moses, it can be frustrating at times. It can be long days and short time. Moses also set apart was also set apart to proclaim the word of God to the people of God, but there were times he just grew impatient and short-tempered and allowed things to get away from him. And guys, you're going to be tested there, I promise you, if you're not already been there several times. 1 Corinthians 9:25, let me give you a verse. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery must be temperate in all things." Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. What's that really? What are we saying here, guys? Don't go half-cocked and just get in your flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit. Because the devil's going to try to poke at you, shoot at you. And you wives, man, guys, you wives are everything to these men. There's going to be days where they are nobody's friend. And when they come home, they need you guys to be there. You're it. And Jesus. And so the devil wants to get right between each of you guys and split you up. He hates your marriage. He hates every Christian marriage. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you're not saved, if you're trying to do it right, the devil hates you. He really hates these guys. And so, man, we need to pray for their marriages. We need to pray for these kids. The devil hates that. He hates to see that. And so, guys, it's serious business because they got to be temperate. They don't have the luxury of just getting crazy. They don't have the luxury of punching someone in the mouth in the parking lot. They don't have the luxury of shooting out the lip. Every mistake like that they make will be detrimental to Christ's testimony. These guys are living a different life. They're on a different plane. Now, hey, no, don't get me wrong. They're just like you and they're just like me, right? They got to take showers. Their feet stink. All that's true, all right? But listen to me. They are taking on something here that's serious. And so we need to be in prayer for them. 2 Timothy 3:2 tells us that we got to be patient. Tells us that we're to be patient. We cannot be brawlers, though there may be moments it'd be easier, right, to trust in the arm of the flesh than the right hand of fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't forget the doctrine. Oh, man, don't forget the doctrine. We know that there are many times people leave churches asking themselves, like the old lady in the Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? All over this country, man, where's the beef? Where's the word? Where's the meat? All they get is sugar donuts, man. They don't get any protein. And you know, you men can bring the protein. And not only can you bring it, but it's your job to teach others also so they can go from the milk to the protein. Because we need an army. Christ needs an army. So we know you men are able to do that. I'm looking forward to the quality that God will produce through you. We know that people often, they don't really care for the meal that you put out, but you know what? Put it out anyway. People don't always like to eat green beans, but it's good for them. You got to have green beans. You got to have some broccoli. You got to have some of those things. Sugar's not going to get it done. Every once in a while, you got to have a donut, of course, or some ice cream. Just ask Tom Ford. All right. But before I move off of doctrine, I do want to say this because I know you guys know this. I feel like I'm talking to the atmosphere because I really have so much confidence in you guys. But to be frank, I've had confidence in a lot of guys. At the end of the day, I'm just beseeching you man, hold fast to the faithful word. Don't go anywhere with it. Don't go off on some tangent. If you think you got a new revelation, don't speak about it. Go back to the book. Go back and study it diligently. Prove it out. Man, guys, this is not the time to get off on rabbit trails. Stick to the doctrine that God has given you and deliver it faithfully. Because there's so many that won't endure sound doctrine. And if you can't endure sound doctrine, I guarantee you your congregation won't either. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Let's keep going. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. It tells us that that's the time. It's coming. Well, it's here. People just won't want to hear. Brothers, preach it anyway. There's no mistake. If you go back and study the life of Enoch, right, you find out that he preached. He's quite a preacher, Jude says. And the audience really wasn't that receptive. Preach for Christ's sake. Preach. Pastors, preach the word. All the pastors in this room, preach the word. All the saints in the room, preach the word. Preach the word. God's word. Not our word, not our thoughts. Preach God's word, regardless of the response. Why? For the glory of God. And I assure you, God will bring those who need to hear and who will respond. But sometimes I think he challenges us, just will we preach? And when, oh, I got to tell you this, guys, when nobody shows up on Sunday and you're looking out, looking at those empty seats, preach to the people who aren't there by faith, faith to faith, knowing that God has people that need to be won and fill those seats. Preach by faith. They're out there somewhere. He wants to get them in your church. Preach the word. Okay, that's the first point. Preach the word. Secondly, be willing to do the work. In verse 5 it says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Pastor Randy Foster tonight, when he prayed, he specifically prayed concerning this issue of enduring and affliction. Be wise in the work of ministry. Watch thou in all things. Much is said of the watchman in the Old Testament. Perhaps you pastors understand that you are obviously one of God's watchmen. And it is now your responsibility to herald and blow the trumpet of God's word. And remember the sober responsibility of the watchman in Ezekiel 33 and verse 6. It says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Guys, blow the trumpet. Even though this office will demand all of your attention, you can rest knowing that the Lord is the one who builds the house. And I think of that passage in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. Man, I've been clutching Matthew 16:18 since day one. Right? Jesus will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Pastors, stay awake. Stay awake. Don't go to sleep. Don't be paranoid. Don't be foolish. Charity may hope all things, but wisdom proves all things. Right? I can speak from experience, man. Have a great big heart, but don't leave your brain in the drawer. Right? I mean, you got to use that thing. Charity hopes all things, but I tell you what, guys, you also have to prove all things. Be vigilant. Watch. Be awake. Stay vigilant. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Pastors, there are days, many days, you will not know what to do. And like Solomon, what you got to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And God in his providence will give you wisdom that is not yours to apply to people that are not yours. They're his. And he'll do that for his honor and his glory. And thank him for that. Because don't ever believe that's coming from you. It's coming from him. He's a good God. And do the work of an evangelist. If this was not important, God wouldn't have mentioned it. And though good discipleship produces good evangelism, we have to go. It's work to go out and to catch fish when you spend the bulk of your time kneading dough to feed the flock. So nevertheless, make evangelism a priority in your life. If we don't catch fish, we won't be feeding sheep. So there is that necessity especially from the pulpit. We've got to be about the business of evangelism. For those observing, the word evangelist is a word that simply means the one who brings forth good tidings. Man, let's bring forth the good tidings. The tidings we must bring are the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And if you haven't received that, by the way, tonight, you need to receive it. I know these pastors have, but I'm talking to those that are not pastors, and maybe you're coming in tonight. Maybe you're a member of this church. It doesn't really change anything. You need to make sure that you're trusting in Christ and His finished work alone for your salvation. And brothers, from the first day until now, it has been the gospel that has tried your heart. As I opened up in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4, and God, I pray that God continues to try your heart. Put it on trial. That He won't let you get away with anything. That He will cross-examine us. And I'm putting myself in there too. May God try our hearts. And then may you finish strong. Make full proof of your ministry. Paul knows that on his departure, the ministry will rest squarely upon his disciple, Timothy. As the old hymn says, oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. You're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. There's nothing worse than a whiny pastor. So, by the way, pastoral team, forgive me. I've had more whining happen in our pastoral team this last year probably than my entire life. And as I say that, I'm like, man, I hate whiny pastors, including myself. God, forgive me for the times I've whined. Man, there are great joys and great trials in the ministry, and you know that. And I just encourage you to endeavor to stay focused on the prize. For before we know it, we're going to be on the other side of glory looking back at these days, and these days are going to be precious. This day in particular is one of those precious moments. And so Paul was ready to go. Long before he did go, he was talking about desiring to be free from the flesh all the way back in the epistle of Romans, and even said so much in Philippians chapter 1. The reason that you breathe, you men breathe, is to minister His word to people that need to hear it. Starting in your home, to your family, to the congregation. And there's going to be days when it's going to be hard for you. You will be tempted to complain. But you remember that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us in that day. And just like that we, right? It's easy to say, yeah, the glory is going to be revealed in me. 1 Corinthians 15, what kind of star am I going to be? Hey, the more you grow as a pastor, the more you realize it ain't about your star. It's about these stars. Because one star is not enough. We need a multitude of them. And I know you guys, you're not all-star pastor guys. You're not going to go out there and promote yourself. Praise the Lord. Promote Jesus. Right? Promote Jesus. See Him promoted through the people, through the congregation. And multiply the glory of God through discipleship. It's going to be an incredible thing. It'll be bright. It'll shine, you know, all the way into glory. So preach the word, be willing to work, and then the last thing, we'll be done. Be ready for war. Preach the word, be willing to work, and another W word, be ready for war. Right? Be ready for war. Verse 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I love the certainty. Isn't that nice? Don't you want to come to the end of your ministry and say, I have? That's an I word. No, we always get scared of I words in the Bible, right? I will, I will, I will. Right? We don't want that. Paul said, I have. He's obtained the salvation that he's looking for through Christ. He has done that. He got to the end of that race. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But it's a fight to keep the faith. I can remember starting out and looking around and wondering what to do and thinking, maybe compromise is the way to go. And I would never tell you guys that. But it crosses your mind. The devil puts it in your ear. But then you got to, where does that go away when you get back in the Word? And you look at the truth. And then it's like, no, that's not the way to go. Compromise is a fast way to grow things, but it's not the right way. Christ is the way. Follow good examples in the battle. 2 Timothy 2:2. It goes both ways. Not only do we who make disciples commit the things that we have heard among many witnesses to faithful men who shall be able to teach also others also, we also continue to use the training we have received from our mentors. We continue to use that. Paul inevitably invested heavily in Timothy. Paul may have been finishing his course, but Timothy still had several more miles to go. So undoubtedly, Timothy called upon the lessons of days gone by as encouragement and wisdom when he faced the difficulties of spiritual warfare. Man, God gives us examples. Use them. You're going to need them. And remember, you are on the winning team. You're on the winning side. Romans 8 makes it clear that we are more than conquerors through Jesus. We learned years ago that spiritual persistence will bring satanic resistance. But God has given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So it is for such a time as this that God has brought you to the kingdom. And I look forward to seeing the fruit that God produces through your ministries. And how he produces that. Bob, I look forward to seeing the disciples at Cleveland and the disciples that rise up down in Clinton. It's going to be an incredible thing. So preach the word, do the work, and be ready to go to war. Your success is the same success that Joshua had in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It all begins and ends with our heart toward this book. And so we've all lived and ministered among the people of Cass and Henry counties. And if we faithfully run our races and finish our courses, at the end, there will be laid up a crown of righteousness. The precious souls of people that you and I have lived and worked among for decades, as well as precious souls we haven't even met yet. And they're waiting. They're waiting for you guys to fill the pastorate and to do your work and to go to war so that they can be redeemed from the clutches of darkness. They can be brought from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. And so I'll share the verse that I've been sharing forever. It's my verse and I'll give it to you because before it was mine, it was Paul's. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.